Welcome to the next episode of Flintco Talks. It's your boy Dano. I'm here in Austin today with a couple of my good friends. Let's go around the table and introduce ourselves. We'll start right here.
My name is David Mahoney, and I'm with TCS Mechanical. I'm a vice president over there.
Awesome.
Eric Gribble with DPR Construction. I lead our healthcare core market.
Kyle Smith with Capital Industries Mechanical Contractors, president and owner. So.
Awesome. And I'm Dano. It's great to have y'all here this morning. So these are a couple of friends of mine, close friends that we work together, work on jobs together. Eric and I sit on the Central Texas ABC board together. And today we're here to talk about a topic that's pretty tough, right? And so first of all, I just want to thank each one of y'all for being here and talking today. But we want to kind of address an issue that's plagued construction for some time, right? If you look at the construction industry and suicide rate of construction workers versus just the average public person in the United States, suicide rate is four times higher for construction workers, right? Another statistic is that there's in construction, there's three people that die every day on accidents and job sites, and there's six times that many people that die at their home when they're not at work, right? By taking their own lives. It's a huge issue. Right, it's a huge issue, and it's something that we've all faced. I wanted to start the conversation today and really be like, why do y'all feel construction's like that? What drives that? What drives that rate so much higher?
I'll kick it off. I think we've got a we put a lot of pressure on the guys that build our jobs every day, right? So we put them out in the weather and the elements, constantly telling them that the quality is not there, constantly telling them that they're behind schedule, constantly telling them we're over budget. And expect them to continue to produce in these very tough environments. And also say, hey, disconnect from everything you have at home. Who knows, you know, what else they're carrying into the job site before they get there, whether it's financial issues, family issues. Again, throwing people into new temporary teams every day. Here's a new guy you're working with. Here's a new crew. And oh, yeah, by the way, we're going to continue to tell you to hurry up and finish so we can move you to the next job if we have another one. So there's always that constant threat of losing their employment on top of all the other pressures. So,
do you mind working 12 hours a day for the next 6 weeks, right? Those type conversations. Yeah. Eric, what about for you? What's your thought?
You know, I sometimes wonder if we just get so disconnected from everybody else. And I guess when I think about construction, my mind immediately goes back to the historic picture of, you know, the guys with their lunch boxes sitting on the steel beam in, you know, downtown Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously it was 100 years ago or whatever. And, you know, there's not a cell phone in sight. And, you know, those guys are taking their lunch every day, talking to each other. You know, like you're saying, they probably got to work together, you know, a lot of days together. And they probably made a connection, and they probably had conversations, you know, how's life going for you, and how are things at home, and, you know, kids in Little League or whatever. And I don't know if maybe we don't do enough as part of, you know, your job site safety necessities, PPE, whatever you will, giving them that opportunity to really take a lunch break, take your morning break, whatever. And connect, you know, connect with your coworkers, connect with the guys on the field, and maybe if we had that more of an opportunity, made that, you know, made a real thoughtful, you know, way to have that connection with those guys, you know, maybe some of those conversations will happen naturally again, and just, you know, really, really let those guys open up with each other and start talking about, you know, how are things going, you know, hey, you know, I just noticed the last couple of days, man, you've just been really in a rut or whatever, like what's going on? Like, let's talk about it.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, you look at professional athletes and those guys get tired on the field, and the coaches recognize that and say, hey, we got to pull you out of the game and give you a break. And in our profession, we don't really do that. We don't say, hey, that guy has been working 7-12s for over a year, which happens. I mean, we do that regularly in our industry and don't recognize that. But you're right about capturing the body language of an employee and recognizing the space that they may not be in. Unfortunately, a lot of the people that are in our industry didn't have the upbringing of what a token paperwork, hey, I was raised in a great family, and have the background and support systems in their life. So a lot of them look to work as a place for that, to get the communication and feedback. And when it's super stressful at work, you don't get that at home, nor do you get it at work. So it's extremely stressful for these guys, what they're going through. And
yeah, especially if you're working 12s, right? Oh, yeah. Just all like you're time. Talking about, if you're working 12s for a year, how many softball games did you make that your daughter played in?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
How many times did you get to go to church with your family on Sunday morning? It's right. It's non-existent. Kyle, well, you're about to say something.
No, and I think there's this stoicism amongst construction men, right? The majority of workers in construction are male. And it's that self-reliance of saying, I can handle everything, right? I don't need help doing this. I don't need help doing that. And a lot of that leads to different addictions. Obviously, a big part of some of this is backed into opioid use.
100%.
A lot of the prescription drugs that end up being habit-forming contribute to some of that as well. So it's we're putting so much on people and telling them to continue to do it. And again, as we sit here in a nice air-conditioned office and talk about this, yeah, exactly. We've got to change and be a little more receptive to what's going on the ground. So
all the while we're out in the marketplace recruiting people, telling them this is a great industry, this is a great thing to do, it's a great place to work, right? I mean, I'm on the recruiting team for Flintco at Texas A&M, and we find 20-year-olds all the time. Hey, you want to come intern with us? Come work 65 hours a week. This is a great industry. Believe me, you're going to love it, right? Is there any, do y'all ever feel like any guilt about that, or feeling like dragging somebody into it, or you sit down and you're like, hey, if you get into this, eyes wide open, you're going to work 5 or 6 days a week for the first 4 or 5 years of your career? How do y'all kind of address that, or is that something that you talk about when you recruit?
Well, I think even deeper than, you know, at A&M, when you're talking to college kids, you know, ABC Central Texas, we touch, you know, almost 30 high schools in the area. Yeah. We get down into those, you know, talking to freshmen, sophomore, and making sure that they're introduced to the, you know, the CTE, you know, within their schools if they have one, and letting them know that, hey, this is a real career path that you can take. But to your point, are we really giving them a career that they want to get into, mm-hmm. That we're telling their parents, hey, your kid is going to go in and start a career that they can do for as long as they want. But are we, you know, as general contractors, you know, as owners, are we looking at this as less of a commodity and more of, you know, there's actual people out here building this? And what is our responsibility as a general contractor? What is our responsibility as an owner? You know, are we pushing unrealistic schedules? Are we pushing unrealistic deadlines? And at what point, what's the breaking point going to be? I mean, we're already struggling with craft and labor, and you know, as many times as we go into high schools or colleges to recruit more, at some point, if we don't change the culture in construction, there's that tree won't bear fruit anymore.
Right. I was going to phrase it like, how many more people have to die before we decide we're going to make a change?
Yeah, I mean, you look at just the local force. I mean, we're union contractors, Kyle and myself. And in the past 8 years, we've lost more individuals to suicide than that locals lost in the past 100 years. So it's just amazing statistics. You know, society's changed a lot from the boomer generation that we were all accustomed being looking up to leadership to now we have a different social pressure on these individuals coming out of high school or even college that their level of stress is a lot different perceived than what mine is, right? So how do I recognize that and adapt to it? And how do I tell an individual, hey, you're going to work 7-12s for the next 30 years of your life, you know? I remember my first job out of college was I show up and the guy's like, you're going to work 5-10s or 5-11s, a 10 and an 8. And I was like, what does that mean? You know? It's like, you got to get here Saturday and Sunday. Oh. I was like, oh, no. Like, what did I do?
I hope the 11s are fun. Yeah, there's a bunch of those. That's totally right.
But you're right. You make a bunch of money, right? Like, or as a kid, you're making good money coming out of school. And clearly you have a passion to do this. You don't do this just for fun. It's puzzles, right? So
right.
We're able to solve these big puzzles, building major buildings and critical times, and how do we solve this mental health issue? That's a puzzle we need to figure out.
Right. There's a great feeling when you're driving through downtown and you look and say, and tell your kids or tell your wife or tell your significant other, whoever you're riding with, hey man, I helped build that. Right. So there's a huge reward, right? High risk, high reward. Some of it's personal, some of it's monetary, but there is something that's super cool about being able to finish a project and be able to say, hey, I helped with that, right? So there is an allure, there is a draw, right? That's why there's ninth and 10th graders that want to talk about being in construction, and it's really helping them understand, hey, this is what you're getting into, and maybe even starting in high school, right? Here's a way that you can disconnect a little bit, right? Because that's one of the things, Eric, I think you said just a second ago about being able to disconnect from everybody else, right? And sometimes work does that for you, but sometimes you need that to rejuvenate. I was going to ask y'all, like, what are some things that maybe you do to help maintain a positive mental health? Golfing?
Oh, yeah. No, hit the golf bag with golfing, yeah. No, I mean, personally, me, yeah, I do enjoy getting out golfing to rejuvenate. But just kind of thinking about what we do for, you know, kind of like on the craft side, on the labor side, on jobs. You know, I mean, traditionally, you know, you have a couple of celebrations on a job site. You know, you're topping out or you're wrapping up kind of parties. But what can you do, you know, for them, you know, more frequently, you know, and is it, I think, Kyle, you made the analogy last night about, you know, there's one accident with a crane and there's a stand down on the job site and everybody has to be there and talk about it. But if there's a mental health issue or if there's a, you know, a suicide or something, it's just quiet, not said anything and swept under the rug. And you know, that's, I think that's kind of something that we need to hopefully be pushing forward, is more of a mental health discussion and not necessarily a, you know, a stigma kind of a thing where we're going to talk about mental health this week because, you know, the calendar is, you know, this month is now, you know, this awareness month. So now we got to talk about it, you know, bring it more into the mainstream. But
yeah, I mean, we spend more in the past 20 years, you look at how construction has changed safety, right? Mm-hmm. Like we've spent a tremendous amount of time keeping people alive on the job. And I think our focus in the next years are, how do we keep people alive off the job, right? So that's, because that's when it's happening. We're having guys go home and they're not coming back, right? So that's the puzzle we got to solve. So how do you create that? You know, basically we've taken our org chart and we flipped it upside down. Basically the guy in the field that's turning the wrenches is the guy that's the most important to our bottom line. Not only just recognizing that from a monetary piece, but that's an individual, that's a human being. We need to treat them like that with awareness and kindness and not just as a man hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so creating environments of places where people have an outlet to go to, I think a safe spot to talk is really important for anyone. And that's not necessarily at home. Maybe that's not at work, but I, as an employer, need to give somebody an outlet to find that, test that outlet out, make sure it works, right? I can't just go up to somebody and say, hey, here's a hotline, call it. You look like you need help, man.
Yeah.
I need to go say, hey, man, you don't look like you're doing it, having a good day. What's going on, and hopefully get some feedback out of them and maybe talk through an experience that I had and get it more on a relationship-based piece and to allow that individual to find something that works for him, whatever that is, whether that's take time off and go play golf or sit in a council session or group talks.
Leave early to go to a softball game your daughter's playing in or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's important, is to create an environment people want to be in. You're going to have a way more productive employee if you have an environment that people want to be at.
Well, and make it okay. Make it okay that you do have to leave early for your daughter's softball game, because that's important, you know, to you as a person. And I think if you look around, you know, just with the four of us here, we all work for great companies. We all have great cultures at our companies. And I think that's what's going to change this industry going forward. And, you know, DPR, you know, we have the tagline that we build great things, and we made a conscious effort not to say we build great buildings or we build great, you know, skyscrapers or whatever. You know, we build great things because we build great people, we build great products, you know, so it's really taking the culture of your company and making sure that you are setting the example. You know, if you're having a kid, you know, you get, you know, the DPR, we get 4 weeks of paternity leave. That's, you know, as a brand new first time dad, that's amazing. And it's like, if you've got these, you know, young guy having a child and he's like, oh, you know, hey, I'll be back next week. It's like, no, man, hey, take your 4 weeks. It's there. You're never going to have this opportunity again. We got you here. You know what I mean? Like we'll cover for you kind of thing. So I think building strong cultures within the construction industry from great companies like us, you know, I think that's what's going to help make a big difference.
But I think I want to challenge some of this a little bit, right? We talk about 712s and all these projects that are working these crazy hours. It's people like us at this table that are telling the owner that, yes, we can do that. Yes, we will find people to work 712s. We are telling these guys, you must go work 712s. Somewhere, if that is an issue, and I highly believe it is, we've got to push back to those owners and say, no, we're going to do 610s. We're going to do something that gives a guy a day off.
Right.
And it's going to take financial impact because somebody behind you will tell them, yes, I'll have my guys work 712s. Mm-hmm. But we're seeing it in this market all over the place right now. Who can send more people to work more hours in more harsh conditions? And at some point, we all have to say, stop. Right. We're not going to do that. We're going to let our guys
collectively
work.
Yeah. Everybody, collectively. Because there's, like you said, there's always somebody else. Right. And you, when you sit there on bid day and you see the different bids and you think you're pretty tight on your fee or whatever, and somebody's below you and their schedule's 2 months quicker, it's like, I can't believe you're going to do that to your guys. Like, we've already looked at it and know we've got to work 610s. Mm-hmm. Right. And we know there's probably going to be some Sundays as well. So it's a collective call to anybody that's listening that's in the construction industry in Central Texas, like, ease off a minute. Like, yeah. Come on, man, we need a, like, everybody could use a break, right? Everybody needs that help. And I love what y'all are saying, like creating the environment where you can have the conversation. That's really the only way to know that somebody's having an issue, right? You can walk up to somebody and if you know them, it's a lot easier to say, like, man, hey, this guy doesn't look like he's okay. Right. Or you talk to them on Monday morning and like, hey, how was your weekend? And they're like, yeah, I didn't really have one. Knowing that they're a person that loves to fish, or they're a person that goes to church every Sunday, or they're a person that goes to, you know, they feed the cattle Sunday night or whatever. They go to rodeos on the weekend. And when you realize that people aren't doing those things, it's an opportunity to go, something's up. Mm-hmm. Right. What are we going to do? Right. What can we do? And I think, kind of like Kyle said, it's a call to all of us, not only to have realistic schedules and opportunities for our guys to take some time off, but really be able to provide that environment for our people also, so that you can have those conversations and you can understand what's going on and how people are doing.
Yeah, and back to your initial statement, we talked about the amount of deaths by suicide as opposed to just general accidents, right?
Yep.
And I tie that in with what Eric's comment, right? We have so much training on rigging and yeah. all of this stuff. Yeah. Is that an equal balance yeah. of mental health? I've never seen a requirement on a job site to have mental health training. I've never seen one week out of the year we're going to have a mental health stand down and talk about these things.
They make you use a platform ladder. They don't make you.
Right.
You got to have a chin strap on your hard hat.
But.
So again, that goes back to how do we challenge our industry to change things, right? How do we say, hey, we're going to continue to, I think I found a stat saying 46 deaths in cranes across the U.S. in a year. And one happens in this market, we will shut every job site down. But multiple folks don't come back the next morning that chose suicide, and we do not talk about it. I mean, part of that, we work with ABC on the vital cog training. So all of our supervisors go through the vital cog training, and that has been priceless because it's the awareness piece, right? It's the first step is that these guys have got to understand when somebody responds, like you're saying, Dano, in a different way, right? Mm-hmm. When they respond in a different way, we're not going to solve it, but we can enact the network and say, let's go find other people that can help us. Without getting too much detail, we actually used that once. I mean, that has actually saved a life in our company.
Awesome.
Somebody said something, side comment, as they were signing out for the day, and they called our safety guy, called everybody else in the network. We were around that guy, got him through the night, got him through the rest of the time, and literally saved a life. I've put plenty of people through first aid CPR and never saved a life from CPR. But we put 20 guys through a vital cog training, and it literally saved a life. I mean, that's what other training can we say has done that?
Well, and we have an opportunity here in Central Texas because our president and CEO of ABC Central Texas, Crystal Smith, she is a train the trainer for vital cog. So if anybody out there is listening would like to have that training, please reach out to Crystal, ABC Central Texas. She can come out, get you trained, get your leadership trained, and really take a long look at what can we do, and that's a first step.
But again, as I'm talking to two general contractors, my challenge is to y'all and the rest of the industry, why are we writing into contracts that I got to have first aid CPR, I've got to have OSHA 10? Where do we write it in a contract that says you got to have this suicide prevention training? Until we get that, and some of that comes from owners, right? Nobody, no owner wants to sit there and say, hey, we had a suicide on our job site.
But how hard would it be to change it on your orientation? Y'all require orientations mm-hmm. where somebody yeah. comes on your site, yeah. right? And y'all have done yeah. been to the Flenco Trade Partner Portal, mm-hmm. right? Could there be a 3-minute section about it's okay to not be okay? Mm-hmm. It's okay yeah. to raise your hand and not have to be the stoic person and say, I'm self-reliant. I'm going to do it all myself, right? Raise your hand if you've been supremely successful in doing everything by yourself your whole life, right?
Exactly.
No, nobody has, right? Nobody has. Everybody's got somebody. They got somebody they call, or they talk to their dog, or they talk to their wife, or they talk to their parakeet, whatever it might be. You have some way to have this release, right? And for folks, Mahoney, like you said, that maybe don't have the upbringing like maybe you and me did, or don't have the strong family support, or don't have, or come from a broken home, or don't have that person. There's an opportunity to bring it up when you're coming onto a job site. Hey man, we have a guy that's been through this training and he's on the job site and he has an open door policy. He's not going to share your name unless you want us to with your company, and let's figure out a way to get you some help, right? This is the person to talk to on this job.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's really important that, part of us, our program is bringing that up in the beginning of what we do offer as a new employee. We do a lot with internships with the local schools, high schools, kids coming out to show them that not every plumber has to have a butt crack hanging out. You know, you can actually work in a clean room or do something different. But the, those just exposing people to that there is a resource out there that can help you, and what that is and how to get in touch with them. And
can you share a little bit what you guys have done at TCS, right? We had our safety stand down at MER 2 weeks ago, and y'all had...
Right, so we do a number of things. I mean, just to back up to how we got here, if that's all right.
Sure.
TCS lost two employees in 2023. One key individual that was on our labor side. And so that, along with the union losing as many people as they have, we decided, hey, we're going to put a foot in the ground and make a move for how can we change the society that we work in. And so we've brought on an expert, Dr. Sally, who's a world-renowned individual that goes around and helps large organizations implement programs. It's a journey. It's not something that you can flip a switch and turn on. And so she's helped develop teams in our organization to begin launching that, educate people, leaders on how to recognize behaviors and what to do to deal with that. We also brought on a pastor who's worked with Travis County EMS for almost 30 years. So every day he saw somebody experience somebody that, or one of his employees experience some death along the way, or had seen probably more tragic things than any of us can imagine. And so he's provided a resource to us to have individuals call or visit. He's on call all the time. We do toolbox talks regularly now. We try to, like we came to MER to explain, hey, here's the process, and everybody, like, you're not just an employee, you're a human being. Like, yeah. We recognize that. So,
and there's a difference between being an employee and a human being, right? And recognizing that, I think, is huge. And this gentleman came out and he handed out hard hat stickers that has his phone number on it and said, call me.
Yeah.
My phone is always on. Doesn't matter if it's morning, noon, night, call
exactly.
me.
Exactly. So we implemented, he came on board earlier this year, and we've had him right at 30 individuals that have reached out specifically to him. And some of those individuals aren't even with our organization. And that's okay. We're on board with that. If we can save a life, we're on board to show that piece. We've also just joined a larger organization that helps kind of blend the mental health industry with construction. And that's at a national level that we can drop the link in at the end, Dano, if that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
that piece is something new to us that we're kind of learning. Hey, how do you do this? We're still a small organization, right? We started in 2017. We were just a small business. I knew every employee. Mm-hmm. We're over 600 people. I don't know every employee. So I don't know if that guy's having a bad day or not and how to recognize that.
So you said you lost two people. I'm incredibly sorry to hear that, right? That's got to be heartbreaking for somebody that's a part of the company since its fruition, right? Since it started and since it came in. Like, how did that impact? We heard kind of everything that's happened since then, but how did that impact y'all just on a, like, at that moment? And what did it kind of sent shockwaves through the group? Or
yes.
How did y'all walk through that?
So, you think of business continuity plans, right? You hear it in these corporate organizations, how, hey, if the server goes down, we're going to do this. Well, we don't have one of those for suicide, right? That's not just a, hey, put Joe in, Bob's down, right? You can't really do that. So I guess this guy's wife committed suicide, I think in May of 2023, and then in August, he committed suicide. So left behind five kids. So we saw the outfall of that. And then on my birthday in December 3rd of 2023, we lost our labor supervisor. And so, we all look at each other and we're like, hey, what are we going to do? We got all these projects going. We just ramped up on a huge project here. And how do you fill that piece in? So it took a lot of camaraderie to recognize, like, wow, that guy did a lot more than we knew, So I don't know that that really answers your question, but
like you said, it's not in the playbook.
Yeah, it's not, right, at all
for anything else, right? If you know you have a CPR emergency, everybody knows where the AED is, they know the number to call, they know where the closest Concentra is if somebody gets hurt, but there's nothing in the playbook for this, right?
Right.
There's no way to even know how to begin to address it.
Or go talk to the family, like go watch it. How do you go talk to a kid, that has hung, he's come to hunt with us regularly, and it's like, hey, your dad doesn't work here anymore, it's just those experiences are definitely eye-opening.
Right, and there's a responsibility also for TCS for what's going on, right? And you guys want to do what's best, and I love to hear that y'all are doing things going forward, right? And it's changing lives. Like 30 people have already called this guy and said,
that's
hey,
nuts.
Man.
I mean, like literally we rolled that out this year, and I mean it's August now, and it's amazing that we've already touched that many people.
He's getting a call a week, essentially, something every week, just like, hey, what's going on? How else have we seen impacts? Eric or Kyle, have y'all been impacted? Do you want to share a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I'll share my story, right? So I was normal family, small town Oklahoma. I had an older brother, 4 years older than me, that died from suicide when he was 21 years old. No indication, no signs of anything looking back on things. And we came from a family that a lot of people came from, where we don't talk about emotions, right? It was either you're happy or you're mad or you're sad. And if you're sad, go get happy.
Right.
I would think I was in my 30s before I ever saw a therapist. And the word suicide was never spoken in our house. Probably still isn't to this day with my parents. Just because that's not something anybody knows how to deal with, and it's not something you publicly go announce to folks. So part of my deal is how do we have those conversations? How do we normalize these words, right? If people die from cancer, we've set up awareness months and organizations and all kinds of things to do that, and it's a very public race for the cure, right? But when it comes to suicide, I think even in the vital cog training that we've mentioned, the first 20 minutes of that 2-hour training is saying the word suicide. And I've probably said it more in this conversation than I did in 20 years of my life. And it's got to start there, right? And part of that is then I think we're getting to the point in the industry where we need to start swimming further upstream, right? How do we start having these conversations before they get to the hotline? The hotline's great. We got to have that. We got to have the EAP programs. We've got all of those enacted, and they get some use, but not much. The real answer is how do we start understanding what's going on with folks on a day-to-day basis? And they're able to say, hey, I'm not okay, right? I think that's, we do a monthly kind of just chat session with our folks, and it's voluntarily. They can come in this month. We did it yesterday. It was all about mental health, and the big takeaway from the team there was just, how do we ask the question, hey, how are you doing, without it being a passing comment, exactly. Right? It's not like just, sometimes it seems like we're saying hello, how you doing, and nobody cares about the response. Mm. But we've got to find a way to stop and say, really, how are you doing? And sometimes it takes that second question of like, oh, I'm good. Well, no, really, how are you doing? And being able to do that. And then part of that training is then, how do we understand the comment behind that if they really give you a true comment? And I think, you know, to me, the answer is all kinds of things. It's the chaplains, it's the hotlines, it's the trainings, it's you reach different people in different places. Therapy works for some folks, other things work for other people, but how do you have enough programs that they can pick from the menu that fits them at the time they're in, and help solve some of those unknowns in their minds? So,
yeah, I mean, I think you got people at various states too, right? So you have people that have true mental health issues that have been ongoing, that may not be public to you, right? And then you have individuals that have that one-off thought, right? That hey, this is not a good space to be in. And recognizing that as somebody that works with somebody, and I don't know what you're going through, Dano, at all, you know, on a day-to-day basis. And how do we get that out of them? Not to the point of, like, I'm not a registered counselor and be able to handle that, but at least I know the resource to help get them there. And educating our own staff downstream to recognize that and communicate it. One thing that I always think of is, it may not be on your job resume as a supervisor, but being that leader, you need to recognize that's your team guy, right? Like that's an employee that makes me a better employee, or a better leader to develop, and that team player has feelings and emotions and things that I need to help be a leader for, right? Like, so if he didn't have a father, maybe he looks up to me, and what can I do to give him resources to get through the deals that he's going to have in his next 30-year career.
Well, and just with this industry, I mean, there's a lot of companies that are young. You know, you said you guys are a relatively young company. DPR has been around 34 years. And I think that from, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, a lot of us that have, you know, us here have started, I mean, you know, brand new young kid out of college, not uncommon to get a hard hat thrown at you if you mess something up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We you used to joke about it. You know, we'd have a little, you know, in our bullpen. You know, we'd, X amount of days since a hard hat's been thrown. You know what I mean? So it's, you know, you weren't screwing things up too much if you hadn't had a hard hat thrown at you. But I think conversations like this, focusing on the things that we are talking about today, you know, it's going to continue to, you know, grow within our industry, and ultimately we're going to get to that tipping point where things are going to change, where it will be as common as CPR, you know, an AED on the job site. 5 years ago, would you have seen an AED on the job site? You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I think, you know, as gloom and doom as things are sometimes, I think it's a matter of, you know, perspective, and it's going to take some of these companies to, you know, revolutionize this industry. You know, I mean, DPR, you know, we got the Creating Hope Through Action program, and we have the employee assistant program, and it's coming up with these types of things and being willing to talk about it, I think. And I think that's what we're going to see going forward, as long as we continue the conversation.
Kyle, you made a comment earlier about normalizing it. How do you normalize this conversation, right? And I think the fear behind that is, once you normalize it, it becomes an actual option. But I think it's actually the reverse, right?
300%.
When you normalize being able to talk about it, you can address it before it's too late, before it's December 4th and you're at the job site, the day after your birthday, talking about how y'all lost somebody, right? And by being able to normalize it and being okay saying it, like, I mean, seeing it happen when I was in high school is the same kind of thing. I remember my mom came in and told me that one of my friends had committed suicide, and it was like, that was pretty much it, right? It was that one comment, and that night my mom and dad sat me down and said, there's nothing you can ever do in this world that's going to separate you from us. We're always going to love you. We're always going to support you. We're always going to be there for you. And all it took was that one conversation with me, right? And it worked. I was raised in a great family unit. They had the conversation with me, and it's like, cool, hasn't crossed my mind, right? But maybe that doesn't work for everybody, right? Maybe it is like, we need to talk about it. It needs to be on the job site orientation. It needs to be brought up in the safety meeting. We need the TCS guy to come out and say, hey, if you need to call somebody, I'm here. Or we need to have the environment to be able to talk to our people. I love what you said about the lunch on the job site. I used to have that poster in my office, and you see the guy sitting up there, none of them have a hard hat on, and they're just got their lunch pails open and probably laughing about whatever, having no idea that 100 years from now, people would reference that picture and think, that's what it used to be about. And those guys were having a good time, right, and enjoying being with each other. Is there something you were going to say?
I just think the normalizing of the conversation, every time I've shared my story, I've heard somebody else's story.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not, we all have a story, most likely. It's just nobody knows. It's A, you don't start a conversation with, hey, I got a story about my brother dying from suicide. It's not great manners at the dinner table. But when you do have those conversations, you see that people are way more connected than they want to be. So to me, it's something that we all have an experience with. It's all something that we've all been around. It's just, it's the undefinable death. And how do we can blame cancer. We can blame a car accident. We can blame bad health. We can blame a lot of things. You can't blame it when somebody made their own choice. And so that's a real tough thing to get our head around. But I think part of it's just A, normalizing that conversation, and B, again, moving upstream from the suicide conversation to more of the mental health conversation, right? How do we get a more of a culture of positivity? You look at a job site, it's you SOB, you can't do this, you're terrible, right? We get a lot of folks in our industry that want to prove they're better than everybody else. There's a lot of male egos.
Yeah. Oh,
there's a lot of this ups, you know, I can tell you how much you're a POS to make me feel better when I come become the hero, right? We see that all the time. And what that is really just insecurity. And it's, you gotta be okay saying, hey, I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm gonna learn, we're gonna do it together, right? But we're not there yet culturally in our industry where we can say, hey, we're gonna work on this together. You guys can bring a problem without being the idiot in the room.
Right.
Or a hard hat thrown at you.
Yeah, right. or a boot in your ass, right? That's what we've done forever. And that comes with a price. And I think we're finally seeing that price. And I think as we change our mindsets to more a collaborative approach, we get a little better there. So
as a supervisor, I always tell my young engineers, I'm like, if you're confused, let me know. I want to know if you're confused, right? Don't think that just because I'm the top guy on the job site that I'm going to, you know, call you a fool or say, I can't believe you didn't pay attention when I taught you this. It's like, no, come in and tell me, and right? And it's the same thing for mental health. Like, if something's going on, I want to know. Like, if you're a parent and your child's going through something, you want them to talk. You want them to tell you, hey, what, Dad, something's going on. You don't want them to sit back and think, oh, my dad's going to think I'm an idiot if I bring this up, right? You want to have an open conversation and have that environment to have those. So what are some things that we can do, right? And whether it's in your company or whether it's, hey, we're going to say in Central Texas, we're going to offer that. What are things that us four can do that we can help change the tide?
Yeah, and we talked about the vital cog training. That's one that's out there that's been out for a while that we can obviously latch on to. There's some mental health first aid courses that are coming up. I as those get normalized into the industry, I think that helps just because people are talking about it. And we're actually set an expiration date to that, right? So it's every 2 years these guys have got to get that course. The other thing we're working on is a gentleman named Dr. Seth Hickerson. Program's My Steady Mind, but it's about teaching resilience and positivity. It's mental health, cognitive fitness training, I believe is what it's called. But I've been through the course. We're offering it to our leadership now. But it teaches you how to essentially rewire your brain to get rid of the negative self-talk, to get rid of the be more grateful about things, and it's amazing how focusing on the positive eliminates the negative, right? So how do we get folks to understand the great things we're doing in this industry? I saw this morning that Lego's stock is going up because people want to build Lego kits. All the other toys are going down. People want to build things, right? We're doing really cool stuff. And we need to be proud of it and celebrate it as opposed to putting the boot in each other's ass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the job, the craft gets two checks, right? He's done with the job, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
there's no, that's the celebration. Hey, you're off the job.
Yeah. Congratulations.
So, congratulations. You did it. Thanks, buddy. Yeah. So, we need to recognize that along the way. I think that's a big piece of the wins. I think that's minor. The milestones usually topping out. And for us, it's air on, you know. But there's a lot more wins along the way that definitely need to be recognized.
Yeah, I mean, and again, back to the resilience thing. That's part of, I think I saw Skiles Group's, that's their mantra for the year, right, is resilience. It's, we're going to have the setbacks. We're going to have the problems. How do we get folks to be more resilient, to be able to bounce back from those things? Part of that's understanding them when the issue comes. Part of that's just, again, putting in the reps of seeing those negatives as positives, seeing the good in situations as opposed to all the bad, right? We completely focus on things that are wrong, punch list items, schedule delays. Never do we say, hey, these crew is ahead. How do we go celebrate it and give them a day off so they're not working 7-12s? How do we change some of that effort amongst the industry to say, no, we're going to push back on owners and say we're going to celebrate things and we're going to give these guys a day off?
But it's exactly what you talk about. It's cognitive training, right? Mm-hmm. Your brain is programmed to bring up those things that you're not done with, or the things that are wrong, or the things that you need to correct, right? And when you're laying at home on Sunday night and you have the Sunday scaries before you go back to work on Monday, you're thinking about your to-do list. You're thinking about all these things when you could be thinking about, I mean, last week we killed it. We got the air on. We did this. We did that. We got our pay up approved. We got paid. The people were there, whatever it was, you know, we had a good week. Everybody left positive rather than thinking about the things that are wrong or that there's no answer to. And you lay in bed and you're mulling over those things. But I think the cognitive training, I'd love to learn more about that also, to learn more about how to program yourself to focus on the positive things and see the positive things when you see your people and you don't think about, yeah, this is the guy that did not get air on time on the last job. You can say, hey, man, you've already got the ductwork up. We've got this. We've got that. I see power's landed. You know, we're ready to rock and roll. Good job.
Yeah, and then you know, this all got its start back in the Navy SEALs and NASA astronauts. I mean, this is top-level stuff that we're pushing out there, but it's still, right, we're putting guys to war every day, right? We're saying, hey, go out there and work in a very unsafe environment, harsh conditions with everybody. Does anybody follow behind us every day and do a punch list? I would hate to see that. So, yeah, let's be super critical.
Don't put that out there.
Yeah, they make it an idea. This is.
but we've got to find a way to make these folks appreciative of what they're doing, and we've got to be more appreciative of it. And, again, you can't be depressed and grateful at the same time. The human brain doesn't work that way.
Right.
So if we can point out the gratefulness of things and understand and appreciate, hey, I sat in an office and air conditioning all day long. You guys have been out there in 105 degree heat. Let's not work past 3 o'clock when it's 106, right? Mm-hmm. Let's take the day off, because really, at the end of the day, these 7-12s are not making anybody productive. Mm-hmm. We're doing it for vanity almost at times, at the sacrifice of many people. So
yeah. Well, I'd like to think that of the 30 guys that called the hotline that you guys have, that there's probably another 100 guys out there that just because they were made aware of the opportunities there, that maybe they talked with somebody else and maybe they wouldn't have talked about before. So I think anything that we can do in this industry to just raise awareness, have a conversation, have something out there that's an opportunity to talk. And I think I love that program you guys have. I guess to kind of answer your question, there's a couple things that come to mind for me, and one of them is Kyle and I are both active in Ripple Intent, and Ripple Intent is just another thing that's out there that, you know, engages conversation and talks about, you know, how challenging the industry really is. You know, we have a bunch of Ripple Intent events that come to Austin, I think monthly, bi-monthly, something to watch out for. One person that introduced me to Ripple Intent is a person that I'm also involved with Lean Construction, you know, Kent Hedges. So another thing that I think we can do as an industry is look to things that can make our lives easier. And if you start looking into some opportunities with Lean Construction practices, you know, work smarter, not harder. And you start looking at opportunities to, from a general contractor perspective, how can we manage the project differently, more efficiently, so that we aren't working, you know, 8-10s or, you know, 9-12s or wherever we're at these days. And I think if we start doing things like that, things that are different than traditional, different than norms, that's how we are going to make a huge impact in the industry. And maybe it doesn't make a direct connection, but if you start putting some lean practices into your job site and you stop working the 7-12s, you know, maybe you do have guys that have opportunities to go home and make softball games and, you know, are just generally happier to come to work. And then maybe that's a way that we make a, you know, change in the mental health, is just making the jobs easier.
You know, and just to highlight that, I mean, like, just the lean construction of bringing prefabrication where I can get a guy out of an environment that's 100 degrees every day and it's raining on him to a fabrication shop and a controlled environment where I know production factors, and that piece is a lot easier to manage, and you have a much better lifestyle than, from my perspective, you have a much better lifestyle in a shop than you do in a field. Sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah. No, the last thing I was going to say is, you know, I'm a huge, you know, podcast guy, you know, love what you do. I like watching kind of just, you know, sports is my jam too. And every day I try to catch a little bit of the Pat McAfee show. You know, he's on ESPN now, so I think he's, you know, awareness to more people. But there's one thing that he says at the end of every hour and at the end of every show, and it's, be a friend, tell a friend something nice, it may change their life. And I think I try to use that mantra, you know, as much as I can in a day. And, you know, just kind of, if you take what we're talking about today and you just change one word, you know, be a friend, tell a friend something nice, you may save their life. And I think if we kind of all have that kind of a perspective with when we go to a job site or we go any interaction we have, you never know what something that you can say to somebody may have an impact on them.
I agree 100%. And that's what I was going to say, is it's on us. It's on us to make the change. I went to all of y'all's websites today before we started, and I read words like, we improve communities, we build great things, we are good at building good people, we want people to enjoy their work, we're all about continuous improvement, we want challenging but rewarding jobs, right? And we are relationship builders. All those things revolve around our people, right? And taking care of our people. We were sitting in our youth group of Sunday night, and I was telling our kids exactly what you said. Not from the Pat McAfee show, but like, hey, y'all go to 5 different high schools. Be the person that smiles when you walk down the hallway. Be the person that smiles when you see somebody that you know, maybe even somebody that you don't know. And the person you don't know, when they see that smile the next time they see you, chances are they're gonna smile back. And now you've started the relationship, right? So for us, it's to do all these things that are our company goals. We gotta take care of our folks, and we gotta make sure that they understand they are human beings, that they are an asset to us, that we're glad they work for us, and we're glad for everything that they're doing. And make sure that they're doing the same, right? And let's provide that environment. Let's provide the lunch table where people can sit and where they can talk. Let's provide the place where somebody can come in and say, hey, I don't feel like things are going well at the house. Or let's provide the phone number for somebody to call, or just the awareness that your guy even exists, that he came out to the job site. This guy had us all pray when he was out at the job site. And I didn't know how the job site was going to take it, but when he said, can I pray for y'all? It was resounding yes. And everybody took off their hard hat and bowed their head. And I was like, we normally just do this at a safety lunch when we say, hey, let's bless the food, right? Nobody's going to choke if we say a prayer right now, so let's bless the food. And it was received really well from everybody that was on the job site. So I think part of normalizing it, also back to that conversation, is being able to talk to your people, understanding when your people aren't okay, and then being able to listen to them, validate, hey, it's okay to
feel this way.
Yeah.
It's okay. This way. It's all right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's totally okay. And say, hey, and maybe you don't even have to share an experience. Just validating that for them says, hey, I'm valued here.
Well, and you know, if you did go to the DBR website and you saw, you know, we exist to build great things. I mean, that's something that we truly live every day. And you and I were talking earlier, you know, what's your role at your company? What's your title at your company? And at DPR, you know, we actually break down, you know, everybody into 3 different groups. It's get work, do work, and take care of people. We have a whole group at DPR that does nothing but take care of people. And I think that's just as important as get work and do work. So I think it's just, like I said before, it's on us to continue to change the industry for good and have, and, you know, if you are the podcaster of your company and you're bringing, you know, this message out there to the masses, or, you know, if you're intentional about taking care of your people, you're going to open up the ability for them to talk to you when they have hard times, and it's not going to be taboo, and it's not going to be pushed down, and, you know, say work harder. So
as we circle up to close out, what are some things, like, if there's one thing you want the listeners to take away from today, Kyle, what are you feeling that's going to be?
I mean, I guess I'm going to go with a couple. I had one kind of in mind ahead of time, which was just, you know, we got to meet people where they're at, right? So that can be the hotlines, that can be that is a multitude of things. There is no one silver bullet, right? We got to just A, have the conversation, but B, have different platforms for it. Secondly, as we're talking through this, you know, we do daily, weekly, monthly inspections on scissor lifts and cranes and equipment all the time. You don't get a pay app approved if you don't have all these paperwork, right? When's the last time we did an inspection on our people?
Mm-hmm.
We say it, and we're not alone in this, but we're in the people business. We're not in the construction business. We just happen to put pipe in the air. So at the end of the day, that is our only asset. Without guys putting and gals putting stuff in the air and digging ditches, we don't exist. So how do we protect and appreciate our greatest asset and quite frankly our only asset? We can go buy welding machines all day long, but that doesn't do anything. So I think we've got to bring it to the forefront, right? I said two, I'm going to take three, but how do we get a lot of this stuff, I'll say, contractually based, right? I challenge our owners, I challenge our general contractors of, you know, start putting the stuff in the contracts. It's the only way we're going to force some people into this. And the people that aren't talking about it are probably the ones that need to talk about it. So it's going to take some bigger actions to do that. So
I'd say, you know, I'd kind of reiterate what I said earlier. I mean, you know, take care of your people, put an emphasis on taking care of your people, make it a priority. And I'll say it again, you know, be a friend, tell a friend something nice. It might change their life.
Yeah, I think mine's pretty simple, is kindness is free. You know, nobody's got to pay for that. So that isn't just a work thing. That's just a human being piece.
I really like that. Kindness is free. It doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't really even cost you much time, right? If you're going to tell somebody nice, or you're going to compliment them, or you're going to, it's super easy, right? And it could change their outlook for the day, or could change their life. You never know, because you never know what somebody's going through. Even if you know them really well, sometimes you don't know, because people don't want to talk about it. They don't want to expose a weakness or a fracture in who they are, right? They have the facade, they have who they are to their friends, and maybe there's somebody else when they get home. So I really like that, the kindness aspect. And it could change the world one person at a time. So it was really awesome to have y'all in here today. Yeah. I really appreciate the feedback and appreciate what you guys do for the industry, what you guys do on Flintco Jobs, what we do at ABC, even what DPR is doing. I appreciate it, and I really I value the conversation and value each one of y'all, and thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for doing this, Daniel.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. It's okay to not be okay, and it's okay to ask for help. If you are struggling with suicidal thoughts, or you think someone you know is, please don't wait. Call or text 988 or chat 988lifeline.org. To learn how to get support for mental health, drug, and alcohol issues, visit findsupport.gov. To locate treatment facilities or providers, visit findtreatment.gov or call their national helpline at 800-662-HELP. Thanks again for listening, and see you next time.